Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. Seth McMillan stops by, GOP candidate for Senate. We'll talk to him. Plus, we'll give you what else you need to know for the rest of this week. Byers & Company rolls on.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Did you see the Sunday Dialogue in the Herald Review?
No. What's that?
Well, they came out with their primary endorsements for the gubernatorial campaign.
Okay.
And basically, they have, and here are the headlines, a reluctant endorsement for incumbent Bruce Rauner on the Republican side, and Senator is best choice among Democrats, and they went with Daniel Biss.
You know what? I saw a notification on that, and I wasn't, huh? I kind of did a head tilt.
And the entire Rauner endorsement is like, well, he's really the lesser of two evils, and we really don't like him. And yeah, a lot of it's Madigan's fault, but he's got to quit blaming Madigan. And we can't support Jeannie Ives because of this TV commercial. Mm-hmm. And then Biss is like, and all the other Democrats should work with him to make sure he wins. So they're literally give you a clue onto what their endorsement is going to be for the November election, you know, ahead of time.
Yeah.
What person on earth thinks Daniel Biss should be governor of this state?
I don't have a clue.
Good question.
Yeah, very good question.
I mean, what?
I mean, I I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Seth McMillan joins us in studios. He's running against Senator Andy Menar. Mr. Menar was with us last week, and so we thought we'd have Seth in, even though he doesn't have a primary opponent. I mean, you got nothing to worry about for March, right?
That's correct, but thanks for having me.
All right, good to have you. Now, you say right here, you're happier with your hands in the dirt in a suit and tie, but here you are this morning in a suit and tie. What's going on today?
I have some meetings this morning and thought I would dress up. It doesn't happen very often.
All right, well, I noticed you look nice. All right, so how is the race going as far as you can tell? I mean, obviously, like I said, you're not heated up for like a primary opponent, but as you're out there, out and about, parades, knocking on doors, whatever it might be, chicken, dinners or pancake breakfast. What are you hearing from the folks?
It's going well. I'm meeting a lot of new people. I'm having a good time doing that. And it's just the mood that people are in is, they want change. They're tired of watching the same old every 2 or 4 years.
All right. Do you get the sense that people are really tired of politicians, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And not necessarily this party or that party, just sort of the whole mess.
All politicians in general.
Yeah.
And that's why, part of the reason I got involved in politics a few years ago, I'm a big supporter of fair maps and term limits. I'm not running for this to be my career. I already have a career. I think that Illinois should be more like states like Texas, and there's some states out west where they have a state legislature that meets every other year, and these are truly part-time legislators who are there for hopefully the right reasons.
Why do you think that would be better? I mean, the anti-argument to that would be that you don't have the experience, you don't really know what you're doing, you don't have...
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know. I hear that argument. But, I've spent 12 years as a small business owner. That's a really, really dumb argument that people make that it takes political experience to run for office. I think I have the experience to make decisions on what's best for my community.
Yeah, but you're going to go over there, Seth, if elected, and you're going to be one person. So,
sure.
I mean, you can have all the common sense in the world. If you don't know how to work within the system that's there,
sure,
how effective of a lawmaker are you going to be?
Well, I think that my goal would be over time would be to change that mentality, and it's going to take one seat at a time.
Yeah, but you know how many people who have sat in that seat saying the exact same thing and then either get chewed up or spit out by the system
I understand.
Yeah, I don't mean to be cynical. I'm just, it's a big machine.
But I listen to your show quite often, and to be honest with you, the people that I encounter when I go to a fish fry or a pancake dinner, everybody's cynical about Illinois politics.
Well, there's good reason to be.
Oh, yeah, there is. You know, there is.
And everybody's – and the trickle effect is what's killing everybody now, more so than ever. Whether it's our Decatur City Council, I just read a story over the weekend about Richland Community College. They might be hiking tuition fees because they're uncertain about what the state's going to do. So you start with the federal government, and thankfully we've got some tax relief, and that seems to have been, well received by the American people, much to the chagrin of people who can't stand Trump. I mean, I think your paycheck's going to walk the walk for you. Right. But then it trickles down, and then the state doesn't do their job, and then it trickles down. And so then the local boards end up charging you more, and the end result is we pay more taxes than we've ever paid ever, and nothing works.
Right, yeah, it's great to have some relief on the federal side, but for a good example is the story that appeared in the Herald and Review a couple months ago where the budget that was pushed through the state of Illinois that the governor vetoed is taking 10% of income tax away from cities like Decatur. They're withholding more sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's that cause? That causes a more of a deficit to city governments, and that now they're going to pass the
buck. And I think mostly the local governments do a pretty good job of trying to manage their affairs.
Right.
But 90% of their expense is people. So, I mean, you either cut services or you raise taxes. I mean, there's really no in between.
Right.
Now, why is it that government's so reluctant to cut bodies? That's what I don't understand. Because as a small business owner, this is something you understand. Not that it's something you want to do or it's something you enjoy doing, but you don't get to just automatically pass along your extra expense to the consumer.
Right. There's a limit to what we can charge as a business, and
or what people are willing to pay.
What people are willing to pay.
Yeah. Exactly. And then it's also that the one thing that I think that bureaucracy and governments, whether it is the city of Decatur or the county of Macon or the state of Illinois or certainly the United States of America, the one thing they never really have to do is perform, because those tax dollars roll in regardless. If you're a waiter or a waitress and you keep doing a terrible job, your tips are going to go down.
Yep.
If you're a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., those tax dollars roll in whether you perform or you don't.
Right. And some of those people end up getting promotions.
Of course they do, or at least they stay in the system.
Right.
All right, what are you hearing since this school shooting last week? And I'm not trying to make this incendiary, and I don't want to get into the whole debate about, but what are you hearing from folks? I find that there's this disconnect between sort of like California and New York and then the rest of this flyover country, where on those two opposite extremes, they think that the NRA or people who are members of the NRA are just like one beer away from shooting up a school. I mean, I really do believe that's an exaggeration, but I don't think it's that big of an exaggeration.
Well, in fair disclosure, I am an NRA member. I'm a gun owner.
Are you insulted by that?
Yes, I am insulted by that.
What do you say to like United Airlines and some of these other companies that have severed ties with relationships they have with the NRA due to this social media pressure that's being put on since this last school shooting?
I don't do business with them anymore. I won't. I'm a responsible gun owner. I work with my local NRA affiliate. Part of our goal as a local NRA affiliate is educating youth in firearm safety. And to me, the discussion should be about why do we have a generation of kids who are, is it the family? Is it the decline in the family unit? Do we have broken homes that these kids are coming from? Why do we have a government bureaucracy of social workers that aren't doing their job?
All right, we've had broken homes forever, right? And you've had violence forever. But if you look at the numbers, if they say, okay, well, we've sort of tripled the amount or whatever it is, in this last window of time, it also correlates directly with the advent of social media. And no one's having that conversation.
Right.
No one's having the conversation about how now kids are living on these video games, desensitized to violence because they spend all day, including our 14-year-old, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about this, shooting up people on a screen. You take out of that, any context of a broken home where there's not an adult family member to sort of explain entertainment versus real life, all of these things. And yet we are spending our entire time as a nation debating bump stocks, which have been used, that has been used in one case in the history of all of this. And I've said this often, it's like, you know, if one of these terrorists or terrorist wannabes in these other countries, because they don't have access to guns, drives down the street and mows people down with a truck, it's like arguing what hood ornament is on that truck. Why are grown-up, responsible adults, including the media and politicians, wasting time on that debate?
Well, that, and they waste time on talking about one specific rifle, an AR-15, when how many people are shot with a handgun in Chicago every week?
AR-15 is not even a powerful rifle. No. As opposed to, if you really know guns.
Right.
Yet you're right, but that's exactly because we have these assault style weapons. So President Trump, and I'm okay with raising the age. I think that there's the NRA can be too stringent. The slippery slope argument is used too much. I think the bump stock should be okay. Why give somebody that opportunity? But again, if you take out the AR-15, if you just eliminate it, do you think that's going to eliminate what's going on in these kids' heads?
No, it's not. No, and we need to have a conversation as a country about just our society and what is causing this to begin with.
Do you understand the thought process? And I'll ask you this as a Republican, because this is what Republicans used to stand for. I'm not so sure these days. But in this case, you know, there were 28 calls to the sheriff's office. There were several calls to the FBI. There were a dozen social service workers. There were school administrators. I think in this world, only a liberal would think we need more government when the government failed at every single step of stopping this kid.
Right. More government. You can't legislate this problem away or what.
Or one more law on the books isn't going to change anything.
No, there was a failure at several different levels that would have stopped this.
And not a crystal ball failure.
Right.
There were specific threats. If you read the transcript of that young lady who called the FBI, it is scary what she predicted 40 days before this happened, and they didn't even pass it along to the field office.
Exactly. And they had the tools in Florida to disarm this individual, and they didn't do it.
Well, there's also a story I've been reading that was sent to me by a listener about how literally their mental health diversion program is keeping kids in the system, and they're profiting from it. It's sick. But we see what this bureaucracy becomes. We see it here in Illinois. We got no reason to point our fingers anywhere else because we've got all of these problems here.
Yep.
You mentioned Chicago. It doesn't matter every weekend, 9-11 kids. If there's 17 in a school and 11 in Chicago neighborhoods, why do we ignore that story?
Well, we're
complacent, just
exactly.
Used to it. Yeah. All right, what else are you hearing from the folks out there that you're interacting with, people you don't know? What's the most important thing on their mind as it pertains to you running for office here in Illinois?
I think there's a few issues. Number one, term limits is always a big one that everybody seems to agree with on both sides of the aisle. People are concerned.
Yeah, it can't get done.
And it can't get done. Mm-hmm. And people are concerned about future of their children and grandchildren. You know, I work with almost 30 high school kids every day at LSA, and several of them are leaving Illinois to go to college, looking at outside of Illinois to go to college. And I think that's a big problem that we have, that, you know, we have kids that are leaving, and how likely are they to come back to this state and find a job or to come back to Decatur?
All right. Now, in fairness, right? I mean, if you could probably go back even to the heyday of Illinois, and high school kids would still tell you that, right? But everybody wants to move. I mean, that's their dream. And a lot of them do come back.
Yeah.
But the problem is coming back now, we're ranked 46th in taxes. I mean, there's only four other states that are more expensive to live in than Illinois.
Right. And my problem is our tuition is higher than in some of our surrounding states. So that's a big factor in the decision making for some of these high school seniors. And we're actually, Illinois is subsidizing tuition for undocumented or illegal immigrants.
Yeah, that was a law that was voted on years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous when we have our own high school seniors leaving.
All right, so what are you really going to do if you go over there? You're going to be, if elected, and it's an uphill if, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a pretty popular senator with a lot of money and a lot of people behind him. But if you are able to win, what does one guy going over there, being in the minority, what are you able to really get done?
I'll represent my district. I'll work with the other side to try to represent my district. The 48th District does not believe in much of the policies that Senator Menard has pushed, including...
Give me an example or two.
Public funding of abortion.
Okay.
Sanctuary state for Illinois. Those types of things are issues that I hear about at doors when I'm knocking on doors. We are a state that is broke, and we have a senator that has continued to expand programs like taxpayer funding of abortion that we can't afford. Those are things that the majority of people, I feel, in the 48th District do not agree with. And so I may be in the minority if I get elected, but I can be a voice and hopefully negotiate on those issues.
All right. How are you doing on fundraising?
I'm doing okay. You know, with the primaries going
Define
on.
Okay. I know, but you're going to have some resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be taken seriously in the fall.
Right. So we've had some fundraisers. We've raised some money. After the primary is over, I think the door will open up when some of these other races are settled. Sometimes donors are reluctant, especially when they're pushing money to a certain House candidate. You know, we've got a three-way House race here.
You got a thought on that either way?
Not really. I know all three of them. I think that, you know, I think that there's might be one or two that have an edge, but I try not to get involved in primaries in my party.
All right. So here's the deal. We wanted to have you in today. Obviously, we've got a lot of time to go. You've got all of the spring and into the summer and then into the fall to raise money and do what you need to do to take on Senator Menard. How confident are you? How comfortable do you feel now that you've gotten your feet wet and you've been out there and you've done interviews and what do you feel like? I mean, are you optimistic about this thing?
I'm very optimistic. It's a district that leans Republican. It's a district that is currently the most Republican district in Illinois that's held by a Democrat.
Yeah, but I mean, you also have to look back, and a very popular mayor of Decatur who was loved by a lot of people could not beat Senator Andy Menard, and he had a lot of money and a lot of resources.
Right, but Senator Menard has a voting record now, and he did not at that time.
Do you think that's the difference?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, if folks want to get involved in your campaign or find out more about you as a candidate, how do they do that?
Yep. SethMcMillan.com. They can also check me out on Facebook.
All right. Seth, good seeing you again.
All right.
Good luck with the rest of your meetings.
Thanks.
Comes in, he says, hey, he'd rather have his hands in the dirt rather than wearing a suit and tie. The guy's got a tie, a pink tie on top of that. Good luck. We'll take a quick break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Sunny skies today. Highs are going to be around 56 degrees, then for tonight, clear and lows around 35. For your Tuesday, increasing clouds, highs around 60, and Wednesday, 40% chance of showers before noon, with highs near 58 degrees. It is 37 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Hi, this is Amy from Gustafson & Associates. These days, you have enough to worry about.